More of Like Effect now. I'm Mitch Tyke. In case you've been living under a rock for the last few decades, those are the inimitable sounds of musician and parodist Weird Al Yankovic. The top-selling comedy musician of all time, he has sold millions of albums, has many gold and platinum records to his credit, and won 3 Grammy Awards. While he parodies pop culture, he is a pop culture icon in his own right. But Yankovic is more than probably the most popular accordion player ever. In addition to his parodies and original music, Yankovic has created and starred in films, television programs, and even directed music videos. And the multi-hyphenate singer-songwriter is not stopping there. He's also a best-selling children's author. His first kid's book, When I Grow Up, was released in 2011 and features the irrepressibly creative young Billy, as well as Yankovic's signature rhymes. His newest book for children, and let's face it, their Weird Al-loving parents, is called My New Teacher and Me. He'll be signing books in the Milwaukee area tomorrow. Lake Effect Stephanie Lecce reached Yankovic by phone to talk about this latest book and his music going forward.
Well, you know, I had my my rock star dreams when I was singing into my hairbrush in the bathroom mirror, but I never really thought that I'd be making a living being Weird Al, you know. I had a number of different vocations in mind. I think when I was 4 years old, I wanted to design miniature golf courses. Then I wanted to be a fireworks maker. And then when I was about 11 or 12, I decided I was going to be a writer for Mad Magazine, which is actually pretty darn close to what I'm doing now. But along the way, I got talked out of it and went to college to get my degree in architecture, which is a very noble profession, but I decided ultimately it was not for me. And through several twists of fate, I wound up doing exactly what I love to do.
What's the lesson you want kids to take from your personal story?
The best advice that my parents ever gave me was that the only real sign of success is being able to make a living doing the thing that you love to do. So I would say, you know, try to follow your muse and see if there's some way that, you know, you can make a living out of that.
Are there things you still want to do?
Yeah, I mean, I feel very fortunate and blessed because I've been able to do virtually everything I've ever wanted to do career-wise. I've done my own TV series and a movie and lots of records and concert tours. I'd love to keep doing it and get better at it. And yeah, there's very little that I haven't at least taken a stab at yet.
Was children's book author one of the things that you had on that career bucket list?
It actually was. You know, yeah, when I first started out in the early 80s, you know, we were pitching a children's show to TV, which we eventually got to do some iteration of that on CBS in the late 90s for the Weird Al show. But I always knew that kids really responded very positively to my music, and I thought Kids Lit would be something that I'd be fairly adept at because it's in my wheelhouse, you know, being able to write rhyming text. And I've always been a huge fan of children's literature. I was weaned on Dr. Seuss books. I love Shel Silverstein. And it was a medium that I always thought that, you know, I would have some talent at. And it seems to have worked out well so far.
Did your daughter, Nina, have any impact on the books?
Well, a bit. I mean, you know, when I was first approached by HarperCollins to write a kid's book, I thought, oh, this is great. I'll have something I can read to my daughter, you know, for a bedtime story. And I think she was maybe 4 or 5 years old when I agreed to write the book, and it takes a long time for the wheels to turn in the book industry, and by the time the book actually came out, my daughter was old enough that she was reading it to me for my bedtime story.
Well, in this newest children's book, My New Teacher and Me, we find the same protagonist, Billy, from your previous book, telling what his teacher, Mr. Booth, considers to be a lot of tall tales. But Billy tries to explain that he just sees the world differently. Why is that an important message for kids to have, the idea that it's okay to see things differently?
There's a lot of kind of concepts being floated around here. I think we're stressing individuality, the concept of, you know, marching to your own drummer, the fact that it's okay to be different, the fact to speak your voice. And also the book is obviously a big celebration of imagination. So it's all of that. It's a bit of speaking up to authority as well. But, I mean, it's mostly the idea that imagination is something to be treasured.
Well, and it seems to make sense coming from, again, a man who's made his career as, quote, Weird Al. Why is that weirdness such an important element for you in expressing your creativity?
Well, you know, that's one of the reasons why you know, I took on the moniker Weird Al. I mean, at first it was just a goof, and you know, full disclosure, the people in my dorm room in college were calling me Weird Al, so it's not a name that I came up with for myself. But ultimately, I thought that it was empowering because if I was taking it on as my own name, then you know, I couldn't be hurt by people in the schoolyard saying, "Oh, what a weirdo! Look at that weird guy." You know, and it's sort of my way of saying, okay, you know, I'm a little different, and that's fine. It's okay to be different.
Well, in the books, in both of the books, there's this kind of grandfather figure character who shows up briefly, but he shows Billy about imagination and kind of this going outside the lines and using his creativity. Who was key in your life to unleashing that creativity?
Oh, gosh, there's so many people. My parents, obviously, were very instrumental in developing that part of me. They gave me the freedom to basically explore my imagination. And I had a lot of relatives like that. I had aunts, and I had a wonderful grandmother who was very supportive, and a lot of friends through the years and associates. I've been very fortunate to be able to surround myself with people that nurtured that warped brain that I have.
Well, tell us about the writing process for your books. Is it the same as how you approach your songs?
It's very similar, actually. I've been writing songs for over 30 years, and I won't say it comes easily, but I've had a lot of practice at it. It's fairly easy for me to be able to put a rhyme together. And doing a children's book, in a sense, is like writing a long narrative song, except that I don't have to write the music for it, obviously.
Do you sometimes find yourself, as you're writing these, starting to create a little melody in your head?
No, not really. It's more, there's a definite rhythm to it. I'm not sure the exact name. I don't think it's iambic pentameter, but there's a very set pattern that the syllables have to flow into, and they do have to flow naturally because you have to imagine, you know, parents reading this story to their kids at night, and it has to flow naturally off the tongue. So that it's very important that the syllables sound right and they flow naturally.
Is there something, too, to the fact that a lot of your fans have grown up with your music over the years and now they have children that they can read your books to?
That's very flattering. And yeah, my fan base definitely has grown up with me. I mean, you know, I came on the scene in the early 80s, and a lot of the fans that were coming to my live shows then are still coming to my live shows, but now they're bringing their kids and, you know, sometimes their grandkids. And there are a lot of people that are very happy that I'm doing the children's books because now they can indoctrinate their children early into the world of Weird Al.
Is that a strange place for you to be in, kind of this creative outlet for families to gather around? I mean, had you ever set out to be a family comedian, a family artist?
Being a family artist was never anything that I did in any kind of calculated way. I mean, I just did what I thought was funny and amusing, and that seems to have appealed to a very wide demographic. It's very gratifying when I look out into the crowd and see the range of ages there. I mean, I really challenge you to find a rock show where you'll find a larger swath of humanity. It's really everybody from toddlers to grandparents, and they all seem to be enjoying the show on a different level, which is really wonderful.
Well, what about your music? What can we expect coming from you now that we have this second children's book out? Are you working on any new music right now?
I am. I'm about half done with the next album. I've got all the original songs done, and I have yet to conceptualize the parodies. On the road intermittently for the rest of the year, so I would sort of doubt that the new album would be coming out this year, but next year I think is a fairly good possibility.
Much in the same way you talked about how your writing style for your books is in some ways similar to that for writing your songs, is writing your original music different than the process you go through when you're writing the parodies?
It's a bit of a process in that when I'm writing the originals, I don't have a set template. I mean, with the parodies, I know exactly how the song goes, obviously, and it's a matter of, you know, it's almost like a Tetris game. Like, this line has to fit this way, you know, in order to work, and this has to rhyme with this, and it's more of a puzzle, really. And with the originals, even though a lot of times they're pastiches and I'm writing them in somebody else's style, it's really a blank slate. I can do anything that I want to, which gives me more freedom, which is not necessarily a good thing because that means there's a lot of possibilities and options, and being obsessive the way that I am, I like to explore as many options as I can. So writing the originals generally takes me, you know, twice as long at least as writing the parodies.
As you've been parodying music over the years, how have you seen music change?
Well, pop culture and music is always changing. It would be difficult for me to articulate exactly how, but I mean, you know, you could certainly listen to music from the last decade and the previous decade and see, well, yeah, it's different. I mean, certainly the whole auto-tune as an effect thing, which I thought was going to be a novelty and be gone very quickly, that's still prevalent in pop music. We seem to have gotten away from conventional rock instruments. In the 90s, the grunge and the garage band movement happened, and we're back to, like, guitars and drums, and now it's back to a lot of programming and sequencing. And again, I'm not talking about all music. There are certainly a lot of bands that are playing their own instruments, but a lot of the songs on the pop charts these days are very highly produced and to a click track, and there's not a lot of the kind of charming amateurishness that I like about some of the DIY bands.
Now, does that make it more difficult to parody when some of these songs are so highly produced, or does that actually make it easier for you?
It kind of doesn't make any difference in terms of doing the parody because, you know, I work with a very talented band and we can emulate virtually anything. We can do everything from polka to gangster rap pretty well, so we're up for the challenge.
I mean, that is one of the most amazing things when you go to one of your shows and you see the numerous styles you guys take on, all the while putting on this really grand spectacle with all of the costume changes and everything. Have you stayed with the same band all these years?
Well, first of all, thank you so much. That's very, very sweet. And yes, I have. It's the same band. I've had the same drummer since 1980, John Bermuda Schwartz. My guitar player and bass player, Jim West and Steve Jay, have been with me since 82. And our touring keyboardist, Ruben Valtierra, has only been with us for 21 years. So he's the new guy.
Only.
Yeah.
Well, I have a couple questions from our listeners. Well, one listener asks, how does it feel to be referenced in so many sitcoms and cartoons? Do you consider yourself to be kind of this pop culture icon?
Well, that's not a good question for me to answer modestly. But it's kind of ironic that I'm this guy that's always making fun of pop culture, and now I get referenced so much in pop culture that I've, in a way, become a part of it. So it's very odd for me, but I'm very flattered by it, of course.
How often do you change your stage show, and how do you choose the costumes that you wear each show?
Well, it's pretty set from show to show because it's so theatrical and there's so many moving parts and there's so many logistics that we can't be too spontaneous from show to show because we figure out exactly how many seconds it takes to get from one costume to the next, and that's how many seconds the film clip has to be, and everything has to work like clockwork. So it's not like we can say, okay, tomorrow night let's do this song instead and let's switch this over here. That doesn't work. So basically, it's on any given tour, it's virtually the same show from night to night. But from tour to tour, of course, we mix it up and include things from whatever happens to be the new album and switch out some of the older songs and try to make it as different as possible from tour to tour.
Well, so then how do you keep it fresh each night?
You know, it's always fresh for us. As long as the audience is into it and clapping and singing along and enjoying themselves, it never gets old.
All right, and then one last question from our listener. What is your favorite piano accordion?
The one that I play on stage right now is one that I bought off of a fan. Several years ago, he came to one of my shows and wanted me to sign the accordion. I said, wow, this is like the accordion that I had when I was a kid. Can I buy it from you? And he sold it to me on the spot. So I don't know. The one I play on stage probably right now is my favorite accordion personally. I don't really have a brand of accordion that I can recommend. I think most of the nice acoustic accordions are made in Italy, but I wouldn't be able to tell you specifically what kind.
How have your fans reacted to these children's books that you've put out as a little bit of a change, a point of departure in what they maybe expect from you?
Well, they seem to be very supportive. It's not like I'm stopping doing music to do children's books. I'm doing both. So seem to be very excited about it. In fact, we sell When I Grow Up on the merch table when I do my shows, and they sell very well there. And, you know, like I said before, it's nice for them to have something to share with their kids if they're too young to appreciate the music parodies. At least they can get a little Al in their lives.
Well, Al Yankovic, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Al Yankovic's newest kids book is called My New Teacher and Me. He is better known, of course, by his moniker Weird Al. Yankovic is a multi-platinum singer-songwriter, musician, comedian, parodist, pop culture icon, and all-around good guy. He'll be signing books at the Barnes & Noble at Brookfield Square Mall tomorrow evening. You can find more information at wuwm.com/lakeeffect. Another one rides the bus. Before we go today, a reminder that our fiscal year is just about to end. Your gift before the end of this week will help determine the ultimate success of the past year's membership efforts at Milwaukee Public Radio. You can make an important difference today at wuwm.com/give or by calling 414-270-1225. And thanks. That is Monday's Lake Effect. Tomorrow on the show, how changes to the GED test are causing anxiety for some people in Milwaukee, and not just about their scores. I'm Mitch Tyke. Thank you so much for listening today, and I sure hope you'll be with us again tomorrow and every weekday morning at 10 for another edition of Lake Effect from WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio, NPR in Milwaukee. Stay tuned. Fresh air is next. Another one rides the bus. Another one rides the bus. Ow! Another one rides the bus. Hey, hey! Another one rides the bus. Hey, 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 hey.